Okay, Tom, we're on.
Okay. I call to order the employee council meeting for the city of Bisbee, Wednesday, February 14th, 2018, Cochise County Board of Supervisors Hearing Room. The agenda of the regular session of the city of Bisbee Employee Council will be held on Wednesday, February 14th, 2018, at 10 a.m. in the Cochise County Board of Supervisors Hearing Room, 1415 Melody Lane, Building G, Bisbee, Arizona. Do the roll call. There you go. Rochelle Davis.
Here.
Nino Williams.
Here.
Tom Coble, here. Dwayne Wallace, not here. Nick Rivera. Not here. Ramon Barbone. Here. Joe Garcia.
Here.
Joe Ward.
Here.
Allison Williams.
Here.
Brian Swan.
Here.
Andrew DeFord.
Here.
Daniel Duco. Duchon.
Here.
Staff liaison personnel, the new personnel director. Oh, yeah, there you go. Sorry. Okay, the following items will be discussed, considered, and or decided upon in this meeting. Item number one, discussion of resignations. Resignation of Tom Coble, myself as chairman, and from the employee council. Things go right, I'm retiring at the end of the year, and I want to resign now. I'm always out for anybody to confer with. Any of the employee council is such a good thing. I hope it goes on in perpetuity. And the other one is B on the item one, the resignation of Dwayne Wallace. So.
Is this open for comments?
Yes. Yep. And anybody have any comments on those two items? Allison?
Yes, I just wanted to thank you, Tom, and for 20 years, is it?
Mm-hmm.
And to have been 20 years, of course, for the city, but also as chair and on and off all through these 20 years on the employee council. And thank you for saying that you'll be available, because losing somebody like you is like losing institutional knowledge as well. And so thank you so much. And thanks to Dwayne, too. He's not here.
Okay, any more comments? Close that item. Item two, discussion and possible election of a chairman.
I'd like to make a nomination.
Nomination by Allison.
I'd like to nominate Nina Williams.
Nina's been nominated. Do I hear a second on that?
I'll second that.
We've got a motion and a second. We're going to go around for vote to introduce Nina Williams as the new chair. Rochelle Davis. Nina Williams? Myself, Tom Cole, yes. Dwayne Wallace, absent. Nick Rivera, absent. Ramon Barbone?
Aye.
Joe Garcia?
Yep.
Joe Ward?
Aye.
Allison Williams?
Aye.
Brian Swan?
Aye.
Andrew DeFord?
Aye.
Okay. It's pretty much unanimous. You have a new chairman, Nina Williams, in good hands. And no one knows it, but I've just been doing what Nina tells me to do anyway.
No way.
Perfect. Seasoned, yep. Okay. You want me to finish the agenda?
I think it would only be fitting, since this is your last time, to finish the agenda.
Okay.
I would be okay with that, if everybody's, everybody okay with Tom finishing the agenda? Yes, okay.
Okay. Item two. Item three. Discussion and possible appointment to vacancies on the employee council. Now, I've been avidly reaching out to each one of my coworkers in the Public Works Division and daily asking someone if they'd like to join the employee council. Seems like nobody's really wanting to unless they have issues, but we're gonna keep working to get new people in here and keep a full-seated council. So I encourage everybody to solicit coworkers within your division in order to keep these seats filled. Very important.
I too have reached out in Public Works and Sue Vetter is interested. She would like to, so I would nominate her. And I reached out to Lorena Valdez, but I don't know if she's interested or not because of her schedule. But Sue is a yes, so I don't know the process, but if they nominate her.
As long as Public Works is okay with her being a representative, she can step in. So maybe Tom, just speak with Andy and make sure that it's okay with him.
Okay, yeah.
And make sure it's okay, you know, that it's a general consensus that that's okay for her.
Yeah, what would you encourage everybody to do if anybody has a prospective recruit to place in to this council from their department? Encourage them to come to the next meeting to be inducted if that's their interest. So anybody who has somebody interested and has a vacancy in their division, please solicit and bring those people into the meetings here, and we can induct them right away.
And Nick Rivera is no longer employed with the city, so he wasn't absent. He's just gone.
Okay.
So maybe you could reach out to the other members of the fire department and see if somebody cares.
We sure will.
Speak for the department, since you speak for the union.
I speak for the department. I'll get a union.
Okay. Oh, I thought you spoke for the union.
I did, but no.
Okay.
Going to go to item four, discussion and possible approval of the employee council to request that city council be made aware of projected costs of wage increases for all employees. So our fiscals end at the end of June, and normally what I see occurring here is right when we get to the budget has been formulated, it's out there, and we haven't provided any input as a body of employees to make the adjustments that might benefit us or may be due to us. But the reason I put this on this agenda was because by the next agenda, which will be much closer to budget closing for the end of June, the decisions will have been made, and I think every year the employee council may benefit from getting a jump on this issue rather than bringing the issue up right as the close of the budget process occurs. But in general, what I hear from people is that nobody can put their mind around what it would cost to give employees a raise citywide. And the last figure I ever was shot at was around $150,000 in the budget in order to provide people with 2% raises across the board. We also have a merit system. Now, the merit system is not contract, it's just a guide, and it doesn't have to be followed by the administration. Many people anticipate that their hard work is going to result in a wage increase through a good review for that year, but that's not always the way it works, is we're pretty strapped for money and so on. But I think it'd be good, same way that the city manager's raise is voted on every year, I think the administration could provide a number that entailed what it would cost to give employees a raise across the board, and then see if it's feasible to direct that money that way, or have the council refuse that money. But it should be plugged into all budgets, whether it's okayed or not, to assure the employees that we are being recognized for our hard work. And it just may be a solid gesture to see that number up there, and whether it's implemented or not. So the deal would be to formulate a statement in order to solicit the mayor and council to consider a increase that has been formulated by the administration, inserted into the budget, and to do so in an expedient way without crunching into the end of the budget formulation period. Get it in there right away, get the idea out there that this is pertinent, and so each year, rather than going down to that meeting that's a month away from the budget closing and saying, we need to have some input, we put that input in right away, and it's possible, if there's a consideration made, that it would, in a little more time, be worked out to be feasible or partial. You know, the other things you can ask for are one-time awards for everybody at a one point during the year, during the budget period. So if anybody wants to take the time to formulate a statement to provide to mayor and council and the administration that it would be beneficial to be able to realize what a monetary amount would be for a raise citywide.
One of my fellow employees made a suggestion, and I don't know, it's not on our agenda, but one of the suggestions was in lieu of a wage increase, would it be possible to give us an additional half hour for our lunch?
That's not necessarily the case for all employees, though.
It wouldn't apply for everybody.
Right. So this...
That would only be, it would be across the board.
Yeah. Be across the board.
So that wouldn't really be feasible for everyone.
Possibly it could be put up on another agenda as a standalone separate item for discussion. Tom, I have a question.
Can I just say something real quick? We need to speak in the microphones, because the problem is the recorder won't pick it up, and so Dan might have a hard time listening to it, and when I put it on the website, they are not going to be able to hear us when we talk.
Okay. My question is, when was the last time city employees had a wage increase across the board?
If I'm not mistaken, it was 4 years ago.
For all the employees? And,
right.
And the time before that, was it?
2 years before that.
So it's been 4 years, approximately. Okay. I absolutely agree with this item. I wonder, there are no attachments on these three items or additional information. I wonder, Dan, and welcome as personnel director. I wonder if you have any comments on this and what we would need to facilitate a number and a letter. I also wonder if maybe we could call a special session devoted just to this item, because we would need to craft a letter and approve it, so it couldn't be a work session because we couldn't approve anything in the work session, so we would need a special session.
To begin with, I am fairly confident we do have this information, so the agenda item is really just to put it in a memo or letter format and then get that to the council. If you'd like to call another session to approve the letter, or just have the chairman review it prior to, or we can do that, but if you'd like, we can vote on it. I can get the information, work with the chairman or chairwoman to craft the statement, and then that would be sent to council.
I move to accept that as a proposal.
So for clarification, you guys want to go for a one-time increase? Or an increase rather than a one-time disbursement, right?
Right, the 2% instead of a 1 or 2% increase across the board.
We can come up with a document, a table that says 1%, 2%, 3%, 4%, and then how much it's going to cost for each of them.
1 to 2 to 3. Just a cost to see what 1% would be, then what 2% would be across the board for everyone, and then what 3% would be.
Okay, I know that it says here for all employees, but would that actually include the part-timer just like the money?
It would include part-time and full-time, to my knowledge. It would include
yes.
Every department, police, fire, part-time, full-time. So if I make a motion to formulate a statement to mayor, to give to mayor and council to consider a percentage wage increase across the board.
Nice second.
I'd like to say that it should include a, or that some, we should know what the cost of living increase was for the last 4 years, because if we don't even make that up, everybody's gone backwards. And you might get a little bit more, but if you're not making up the cost of living, then we really haven't gained a lot, although we have gained something.
So maybe that can be included into the statement that we forward to mayor and council also.
Joe, could you repeat that? You said, did you ask for the prior cost of living adjustment to be included in this?
Well, I would say that if the cost of living hasn't gone up, more than 2% over the last 4 years, but that's an assumption on my part. I'm saying that if we don't meet that, we're still taking backward steps.
I could include some information, for example, the inflation percentage for the consumer price index for the last 4 years, if that would suffice.
So does Nina have to modify her motion?
Well, I made it a blanket statement. I can formulate a statement.
Okay.
Do I need to include the cost of living, though, in that motion?
No, I'm taking notes on what you want included in the statement.
Okay.
Also, for discussion, I don't know if this would be relevant to include in the statement, but the amount of employees that we had 4 years ago versus the amount of employees that we have currently, the workload has not lessened, but the employee number has.
Absolutely.
And so that workload is more of a burden on these employees with the inflation and the lack of increase.
Okay, so as we go through this, if anybody has anything they'd like included in the statement, now's the time to suggest that, and then we can have a motion to approve that statement. So if there's anything else.
So I amend Nina's motion to include these points that we've covered.
Okay. And just for clarification, I can draft the statement and get it to the chairwoman for final approval, and then we'll send it to the council. What would you like on the table? Just a 1, 2, 3, 4% increase for all employees? I could break it down exempt, non-exempt.
Could we start at 2? Forget the 1.
I second that.
Okay. So then in my notes, I have the data for a 2, 3, and 4% increase for exempt employees, non-exempt, and total. Four-year history on inflation and the consumer price index percentage change, and four-year history on the number of FTEs changes in the city of Bisbee. And I can adjust that so it'll include full-time and part-time, so it reflects the actual change, not the total FTEs.
I move we approve issuing that statement, formulating a statement and issuing it with all the elements we just discussed.
I second that. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 All those opposed?
Unanimous. Item number 5, discussion and possible approval of a request to staff for research on compensation time policy. Does anybody have?
I'm going to ask about that, Tom. What's been happening is that I'm only given so much overtime that's in my budget. And so over the year, I can eat that up real quick and then was taking comp time, which is actually, we're not allowed. But I got permission from Mr. Marsh and from Justin. And so what happens is that, you know, you're putting me in a position, I'm getting put in a position where I'm actually violating our rules by working comp time. And, you know, I don't have a big issue with comp time, that if that were allowed, it would meet the current circumstances of some people. Because some of our jobs are based on results, not the time that we have. Or most of our jobs are actually.
So you're thinking that there could be some sort of a comp time awarded?
Yeah, but if I work an hour
formally,
overtime.
That needs to be looked into.
An hour of overtime, I take an hour and a half of comp time.
That needs to be looked into extensively in relation to receiving comp time and not the pay to the retirement system. This comp time was used heavily by myself and the Parks Department, us two Parks guys. For a number of months, and I believe what happened was we surpassed the amount of comp you can earn legally, and at that point, that sort of compensation came into question as to whether it was even allowed in this realm. That has to be researched extensively. Possibly by the touch hands with the city attorney and find out for sure what the rules are that bind us to this compensation time. And after those parameters are found out, or whether you can do that at all should be explored prior to.
Though, Tom, we're having to do it. Some of us are like Joe. I mean, he only has so many hours in the day, and then he comes in on the weekends and does his agendas and does his catch-up, basically, but he's still working for the city. So we all do it. So we all need, I mean, it needs to be, I'm sure the police and fire doesn't have that problem.
We don't have
to. Didn't even know it existed.
Right. But like Allison said, we're all doing more, you know, we're short-staffed in most areas. I mean, Joe's the only one in his department. I mean, he does have a helper now, but, you know, Joe is the one that has to literally go out and do inspections, but it still doesn't stop him from having to do his agendas for his design review, his planning and zoning, his community sustainability commission, and then staying for those meetings, doing the action agendas, and all the public notices and the hearings. So I would say, let's talk to the attorneys, have Dan talk to the attorneys and see if something, because I'm sure we all do it in some form or another. Like, Rochelle, if you stay late one day, you leave early another day. If you're doing bills and you have to get them out, you work that out with your department head, just like I work that out with my department head, but maybe it should be something that we have a policy on.
When I sent this item to Dan, I actually CC'd Britt in on it.
Okay.
I have to show my ignorance. It says, because I don't, obviously that's never been something I dealt with. When it says compensation time, what does that mean? Do you get paid for that, or do they put it towards?
You put it towards time, like if you need to go to a doctor's appointment. Like if I have an hour and a half that I stayed for a meeting, but in 2 days I've got to go to the doctor, I use that hour and a half.
Towards the doctor?
Towards the doctor visit.
Like him, well, like Tom and Joe, you guys probably have hundreds of hours of comp time. You're not going to be.
He'll never be.
You're never going to get compensated for that.
You don't do that.
Well, when they compensated us way back, or, it was awarded, we were working overtime on parks projects, developing parks, and we were awarded formally on our paycheck, comp time, line item, time and a half comp time versus pay. And really, really what, and that was an extreme deal where all that time given on the comp time displaced the time we were needed out in the field. So it's, you know, under a skeletal type of crew, the newer people probably don't realize the transition that more of the long-term employees have made in order to maintain providing services as our administrators instruct us to. Sooner or later, you're playing catch up around the back end if you're pushed into an extreme with this sort of a scenario.
At that rate, you guys wouldn't have to use any of your PTO. You could just use comp time.
True, and that's going to get us on the next. And this is very good in order because this is going to take us to the next item. Anyway, what's the resolve for item five?
I have a question also on this. I too am with Rochelle. I don't know a lot about this. So you're saying that in the past there was a financial disbursement on comp time previously that was on the paycheck, but that no longer occurs? Or
recognition of the comp time on the check, and it was formally recognized.
So in requesting of staff to research comp time, can we also include, is it viable to look at a financial disbursement to, if you're going over comp time, I mean, what you're talking about, Tom, is as the employee number goes down, the jobs do not, you're taking on multiple jobs that you hadn't previously, and going over, I know if we're not allowed to go over our hours, we still have to get the job done. Those additional hours they're not recorded anywhere. So for multiple employees, they don't have a way to adjust that.
And that's wrong.
Yes. So, but so is there, do we direct staff to look at that as well? Is that part of this?
Okay. Yeah, and the next item is going to very much, not to disregard this item, we have someone who wants to speak on this item. Would you state your name and please?
Cindy Osborne, and because I'm a stickler for details, a real stickler, I just wanted to point out that one of the examples that was given, and I believe it was Nina, if you have a doctor's appointment in 2 days and you work over Monday or Tuesday, that's not comp time, that's flex time if it's within that same week. And I know that really does sound like a stickler thing, but I think it's very important to everybody hearing and anybody that listens to the recording, that they understand that there is a difference between flexing out. I worked 14 hours for the first 2 days, and so I'm not going to exceed my 40 hours, so I flex out the time, versus comp time, which is when that flexing out within the same week doesn't happen. And so, like I said, I just think it's really important that everybody realizes those are totally separate things, and so don't expect a policy to address something that you're not asking for, if what you're saying is comp time. That's all.
No, I was just giving an example of what happens with that, because really it affects Joe. I mean, I have some of it, but it affects Joe and them more than it does the majority of us.
Mm-hmm.
So the difference is if it's within the same time period, it's flex time, but if it goes into the next pay period, it would be comp time?
Mm-hmm. If you exceeded 40 hours.
But Cindy, that's only flex time is if you're still within your 40 hours. It's when it goes over 40. Yeah, it's when it goes over 40 hours.
Yeah, that's what I said. If you work 14 hours Monday and Tuesday, and then you adjust your schedule so that you're still within 40, that's flex. Yeah.
It's in lieu of overtime. Comp time is in lieu of overtime.
Right.
Yes.
And whoever your superior is going to be able to decide whether you take comp time or flex time.
Well, I move to request for staff to research on the compensation time policy, including the city attorney in that discussion, as well as including all of these points that we have discussed here with.
Okay. I'll second that.
Motion and second. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 All those against? None. Unanimous. Item number 6, discussion and possible approval of a request to staff for research on reimbursement for use or lose PTO. And this is where you can possibly tie both these items together. You're going to be given all this comp time, and you're going to sit on your PTO and not be able to use it by the end of the year. Now my observation of what happens is being short-staffed, there are certain people who step up and work every day and have no time to use their PTO or providing the services that the city agreed to provide for the public, and actually going above and beyond by not using their PTO. And I think there needs to be some consideration for employees with the okay of their department head to retain more than the allowed PTO, which is what you're awarded every year. You can't turn over any more at the end of the fiscal or at the end of January. And consideration should be given to pay people for unused PTO over what they're allowed to roll over. I think that item 6 almost overshadows item 5 in a way that both these aspects, if you're given so much compensation time and your PTO accrues and isn't used, you should be awarded with that. And if we had an abundance of labor, well, things would be different, but we don't have that, and we need to encourage people to step up.
Tom, on that, are you guys trying to get dollar for dollar, or would the employee council be willing to lower that threshold? Do like a 50 to 1 or something like that.
For compensation?
Correct.
Unused PTO?
Yeah, if that would be a possibility, instead of getting dollar for dollar, because that's probably just going to bankrupt the city. I know from the fire department's point of view, and possibly the police as well, that's probably what that would be. But if you did something maybe towards, I don't know, mid-November or something like that, it could also be utilized or viewed as a one-time bonus for employees as well. The only reason I'm bringing this up is because this has been a discussion that we had with previous city managers, and it fell on deaf ears, and the problem still continues.
Right.
So.
All of these items, 4, 5, and 6, were, I think, kind of blanketed on a mayor and council agenda, city council agenda in December, was it? In December, as a direction to city manager to look into all of these things. And so the one thing that was on that direction that is not included here is internal promotion and position creation. So I bring that up because these three things were on that, but that fourth thing is not here on our agenda, and I don't want to forget it because I think it also needs to be looked at by the employee council. The other thing is that I had another employee come to me and ask to look into possibly giving their PTO to another employee who might need it, that if they can't use it, because again, we're coming back to, I don't want to say understaffed, but understaffed in the sense that we have lost a number of employees over time, but those jobs remain and are being given to employees who are doing more work. So they actually can't take the PTO. There's nobody to cover for them. They just can't, and so it's accruing and accruing. And so I really like the idea of a cash payout and a percentage, if that is what it takes. I don't know. I actually don't know the numbers, and that might be something that Cindy or Rochelle know, but 70% or is 50%, because it wouldn't happen otherwise. I don't know, but
we suggest. Go ahead.
At the police department, it's brought to my attention by several people that at one time the city had a buyback program, and it was up to 2 weeks, and they felt that that might help alleviate it. And everyone's short-staffed, everyone's doing more than what they need to do. The only thing I want to point out, I understand when you come back, your pile, your stack is still there no matter what. When we do it, someone covers and they pay time and a half to have the coverage. So paying us our normal rate, at just paying it to us, if we choose to go that route, helps the budget as well.
That's an excellent point, yeah, exactly.
And then you're punishing somebody by not paying them the dollar for dollar if they don't have the choice.
That's true, too. I mean, that's why I wondered about the 50%. And
it was just something that we were discussing with previous city managers as a trial run to see if that would be something citywide that would be feasible. But just because of the amount of hours that we have that we can't take because what they just stated, that would be something that we thought would be helping the city and the employees. But again, it's not what works for us doesn't necessarily work for everybody. So that's.
And so maybe under direction for staff, the police and fire need to be looked at separately in that sense, because of the time and a half, what you're saying about doing it regular at the regular hourly then actually does save money. But the thing about when this agenda was on the city council, this agenda item for city council, was that under that direction, I mean, it was a brief discussion, and I don't look at the minutes before today, but I seem to remember shortening that period or having a cutoff, this use it or lose it, that again, there are simply employees and departments who will lose it. They just don't have a choice. There's nobody to cover for them. They can't take it. So That has to be addressed, I think. Does that mean getting another employee? Is, because if they don't have a choice of losing it, and if city staff directs mayor and council to, say, make it a year, you know, lose it after a year or 2 years is the number I think I heard, then some of these people just won't have that opportunity and will lose it. So I feel it does need to be addressed in a specific way, and if that is monetary compensation, but I agree with it not being fair to go to 50% if you don't have a choice. I just wanted to put that out there. So the request that I was asked was to suggest if there was a way also to gift it to another employee who needed it. And I don't know what that means in terms of how it looks on paper and how it affects people, but there might be an employee who simply needs that time, and other employees can help them. So
are you talking about a citywide employee, bank or department?
I don't know. I think that's something we would have to look at. I mean, because the parameters of the police department are different, that maybe it would be within department, or I like the idea of citywide. I think I can think of several scenarios where this would work out for somebody, but to look at how it would be structured, if that were something that everybody here wanted to recommend, to just explore it, to look at how it would be structured, if you could give away PTO if you couldn't use it, or if there was a limit to how much you could give away. Anyways.
So that sharing is a good idea, but you know, this item, I think you can just fly it right in and simply request staff, mayor and council, to provide with department head okay the reimbursement for the in excess PTO that a person may roll over, and that creates better communication between you and your department head. But I think it should be just a gimme where a person can go in and avidly work with it, his or her department head, in order to say, listen, I gotta provide all this for you, and I'm going to not be able to use my PTO in lieu of that, and I request that you're going to pay this. And so each person responsible, I think you should just put out there right away to staff and mayor and council that employees of the city of Bisbee are asking them to consider implementing dollar for dollar, of course. Implementing a program that at the end of each year, with department head approval, employees who step up and hold down the vote here are going to be awarded their PTO that they were unable to use. So,
are you going to put a cap on it, or is it just...
No, anything in excess, of course, if you're going to have 208 hours awarded to you each year, and you're checking out of the year with 230, you're going to be awarded that 22 hours in cash or in pay.
What if you have an excess of 200 hours?
I think that's something that has to be looked at, because you all will have a lot more than just us will have. So maybe give a scenario of giving us dollar for dollar, but maybe you only give me two-thirds of that PTO or 50% of that PTO.
And then,
I lose part of it, but I get some money for the other part.
So each and it's so different from division to division, but each department head from every division is directly responsible to manage their employee force and the time spent by each employee. I mean, that should be a gimme. There's people going above and beyond and way over and not being recognized, that needs to be brought up front. And this provision of excess PTO awarded in money can be avoided by any department head who cares to do so. But in the case that
But there are some scenarios they can't help that, like the police department was so understaffed, the fire department was so understaffed that they had to do overtime, they had to work multiple shifts just to make sure that the city was covered.
And that's...
Yeah, the hours in the day don't change for us. That's the thing, like, there's still 24 hours a day that the city, that the citizens get coverage from these two departments at least. And those hours don't stop. You know, I mean, it's different from 8 to 5 or 6 to 2.
Right.
Because after 2 o'clock, you'll start accruing your comp times or whatever. Our time doesn't stop.
So maybe this item should be more tailored to you all, what you all would like to see us move forward to mayor and council regarding the PTO.
Or does it need to be looked at in two structures, police fire department structure with, you know, taking into consideration your schedules, the time and a half and the inability to, you can't just say no, you can't. So, you know, two structures I'm saying for police and fire and then for the rest of the city employees.
I agree with that.
Tom, if I may chime in here, Allison mentioned earlier that the city council did give the city manager direction to research this. So I think we should decide if we want to make a statement to council asking for something or a request to city staff that could be asking for involvement in his research, asking for where his research is, asking for his proposal, because it could be different, better, or worse than what you're asking for. So I think we could be a little tactful, or not tactical here in what we're asking for. I'd hate to see the employee council ask the council for something and the research was already being done for something that was more generous.
Well, at the time of that agenda item, what I had kind of put out there was that I think that the employee council needs to be directly involved with the city manager's research committee or, you know, have access to the data, but also to have input on what the next step is going to be. So I think that, I'm not sure, for number 5, did we vote to bring that directly to mayor and council?
That was to the staff and the city attorney.
Right, to direct, okay. So I think it's the same thing, but also that we need to, yes, absolutely find out where that direction to city manager, the status of that, what research has been done, and but also to direct city staff to research this reimbursement of PTO exactly on the points that we've discussed, acknowledging these department needs, these two structures, and to really address, because what I am afraid might happen is that that city manager or city staff already on this path might direct this use it or lose it without input from the employee council.
So we could make the request for the items we've discussed about the potential ideas to research and to be part of the city manager's research that's already ongoing, or have input to.
You can request that they actually do this. I want you to, as the employee council on, I want mayor and council to consider okaying the pay of excess PTO every year at the discretion of each department head. And put it out that far to get it moving and get that out to mayor and council. Get that out so it's heard. If it's mulled over and worked on by various groups and not brought to light, it's possible that it just winds up nowhere. We want some action here. We want this PTO awarded to us based on our dedication to working every day and not using our PTO because my boss needs that service from me.
It's my understanding that if we recommend, our recommendation should probably go to city manager and staff and they discuss it and then it would be then handed down to mayor and council. I believe that would, the way it was explained to me, is probably the most direct path and fastest.
Mm-hmm.
So, Tom, are you suggesting two things? One, a direct motion for that payout, and then two, we also request that staff research and that the research that we have access to, the research that's already been done, and as well as be allowed to give input that the employee council would like to be part of this process.
Yeah, it's fair to say that some of us have a conclusion already about what needs to be done on this item, and based on anybody putting forward that motion, the rest of us are going to vote on it, whether or not we're with that motion. But it's quite a bold motion saying let's quit footing around on this and let's get some action for these people who can't use their PTO. And in turn, with the department head concurring that this is okay to do, I think it's a well-organized type of idea to implement, and it does place some decisions and more on the department head on how they organize their staff. But there's no reason that the people down here working with us have to make concessions on losing money or PTO based on their commitment to the city. So I think we should put it flat out. I'm going to make a motion that we request to staff and mayor and council to provide reimbursement for the user lose PTO that is in excess of what you can roll over each year, with department head approval. The money is due to a person for unused PTO in excess of what can be rolled over be awarded to that individual.
Second.
Period.
Second.
Got a second? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anybody not in favor? Okay, so the item passes to request to staff and provide to mayor and council the request to award everybody rolling over the excess of PTO that amount in money. So, anybody have any comments?
I still would like, for the employee council to have access to what's already been done from the city manager's department and staff on these three issues. And also that fourth item that is not on this agenda, but internal promotion and internal pay increase in departments, in the way that the city charter lays it out and why we have a civil service commission is that when a new title, job description, and position is created, it must go before mayor and council as well as the civil service commission. And I think that that is kind of one of the issues that is that this direction of internal promotion is possibly not using that part of the charter and the civil service commission. I'm not sure of that, but that was the impression I got from the agenda item. But anyways, I think that if we could put this item on the next agenda.
Can you elaborate on internal promotion? Are you suggesting they do or they don't do internal promotion?
Well, I'm not sure it was on the agenda that the mayor and council direct city staff to look at internal promotion, maybe no longer using that civil service and approval of the creation of a new job description, and then putting that job description, so it, in the past, or in the present really, how it works is that you have a job opening and or a new job position and job description, that always goes out to, on the city website, it's the job position is, the opening goes out. And there has been some question about internal, whether if that position opens up in a department, it first goes internally. Now that has been in the past, previous to this city manager, and I think even mayor in the past, where a job opening goes first to internally to city staff, but there's still a process for that. And so otherwise, any open position, job opening, is posted on the city website for all, anybody to apply for, both city staff and non-city staff, right? So I think, I wasn't sure, but that agenda item was directing to re-examine this process. So I really would like this employee council to be a participant in this process to understand what, because obviously I don't even understand what this means or what the direction it's going currently, but I think that we need to be included and we need to look at it and understand what that means for the city employees.
I can elaborate. The direction to staff from the city council in that December meeting was brought up by the city manager because based on the charter and the code and the personnel manual, the city manager is not allowed to promote anybody internally. Every vacancy in the organization must be presented and open to the public. So the direction was to research policy alternatives if there is for other suggestions allowing internal promotions to be made. Because right now that's prohibited per the manual. And we've seen this in the police department and the fire department where we have two recruitments now, and both of those had to be open to the public per the charter and the code. And
as
we
well
didn't...
As promotion.
I'm sorry?
As well as promotion.
For example, yeah, for the sergeant positions as well, they all have to be open to the public. Yeah, they are.
The deputy chief, they're still kicking that around, it's going to be happening, but that's going to be advertised to open. And there's some legalities to that, that's why the policy was created, as far as law, why the city created those policies, that happening to post.
Okay, I'm not familiar with the law outside of the charter.
I believe that had something to do with it.
Okay, yeah, it is in the code and charter that says internal promotions are not allowed, and the direction was for staff to be able to research alternatives to that, whether that be a policy change.
So I don't know if that needs to be an agenda item, but if there is further information or action on that it could be on the next agenda. Simply, I'm just requesting that employee council be included in that process.
Absolutely, and to reach out, I did participate in some research on that several months ago, and I just did some precursory research on a memo that I can send out to you guys as well. No action has been proposed or taken, but it's just some research, and the gist of that was I looked at several of the organizations in Southern Arizona, and we're the only one that is prohibited from having internal promotions.
I'd like to thank everybody here, and this is so cool to be a part of this, and that all the employees in your departments, your divisions, they're fortunate to have people like you that come into these meetings. So I move we adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Thank you, Tom.
Congrats, Tom. Here's Ida.
Oh, gee, I forgot everything.